Hey, it's AMA time. Do we have a lot of computers and a lot of cameras to maybe do this thing on? We should do, Joe.
Whole
But
studio filled with them, you would say.
yeah, but for some reason our internet's real bad right now and Discord looked like doo-doo. And I thought, you know what? I didn't get to use the tiny mics a whole lot at Summer Game Fest, Joe.
Yeah. Mini mic, supreme mic, and then we found the tripod that Greg uses for all of his Gregways was just standing up in the middle of the studio. So we're like, you know what? We're just gonna do this lo-fi in the studio, but with all the cool lights in the background.
And they're
But
doing XCast over there as well.
that is true. And then there's kind of anime and there's a lot going on. So Andy and I are here for your
June, July.
July
July. The
AMA.
July AMA,
Feel like I should know
everybody.
that because Tim is
Yeah.
always like Christmas in July, you know, on every show. So I feel like I should be better about knowing that, but it's neither here nor there.
I gotta remember to put my microphone next to your face whenever you talk.
Oh, yeah. And
So let's do this in practice. I'm talking right now.
it's my turn.
Hey, there we go.
We got it.
Cozy Bear asks, do you remember your first time meeting each other? And if so, what were your first impressions of meeting each other? I met Joe at PSX
Yeah, here.
here. Oh yeah, here. That was here. That was in San Francisco. And I was working the merch booth at kind of at
At the meet and greet.
the kind of funny meet and greet for PSX, yeah.
Yes. I had just driven up here after a wedding on a Saturday night. I was like, listen, or maybe it was a Friday. I was like, I'm not missing PSX. This is going to be cool. This is going to be like one of the first big events I think I had done. I'd gone to Kind of Funny Live, like all of the Kind of Funny Lives, but I think maybe this was after Kind of Funny Live 1 when I started doing like community stuff more. Yeah. And I feel like it was very brief, but I do remember that you were the first like Kind of Funny community friend that request I ever got on Facebook. I was like, oh, I know you from the Kind of Funny Facebook
Remember
group.
Facebook?
I know back in the day. I don't think that was such like a chaotic event because I was like coming in late. There was a million people there and stuff like that. So I don't feel like we interacted much, but we definitely knew each other from the internet before then. But it was just like a,
Right.
oh, you exist in real life.
Yeah, you're the person that I've seen your screen name a whole bunch of. Yeah, that was one of those Greg and Tim knowing me through the community and like needing help to sell merch. So yeah, that
Were
was
you
it.
designing stuff back then? Yet?
Yeah, because this was a year after RTX 2015. Yeah,
Got
so
it.
I had already done a couple of smaller things, I believe. I think that was the Shuhei,
Oh.
I believe in Shu. I
Yes.
forgot the shirt.
Yeah, it's a picture black with him
It
in
was the
white.
Shu. Yeah, it was the
Yeah.
Shuhei little thing.
Oh, man. So long ago. My
Yeah.
memory is not that good.
Jared R. Meyer says, "Hey, Joey and Andy. Recently, a coworker and I were in the break room, and she just looked at me a little funny. And I asked if everything was all right. She asked, 'Are you happy?' Took me off guard, but I just started to think about it. And we had a long conversation. It was nice to have a moment to be self-reflective. So let me ask you both: Are you happy? And if not, if you're comfortable sharing, what would you change or do to take a step towards happiness?"
That's an interesting one. I can hold that if you want.
I'm trying to be like very gentle because I feel like
Oh, the
if you
wire.
tap anything, like it all picks up.
I have this conversation with Nick like fairly often when he's like, I feel like I'm the latest one here, and sometimes Nick like hangs out if he's like killing time before a comedy show or whatever. But I think about it a lot, at least with like my group of friends. It's the conversation of like, at least with us, do we want to have kids? Do we not want to have kids? Like, what does that look like? Blah, 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 all that stuff. And so I feel like when Nick and I end up talking about it, it's like a, my feeling is, I think on like a scale of happiness, maybe I don't get the highs of like, oh, if I had kids and all of these like fulfilling other things in life potentially, like maybe I could be happier, but maybe I also don't experience the lows of like the hardships of all of those things. So, I feel like in the stage that I'm in, I'm pretty happy with my life. There are obviously like things and stuff that I would want to change and work on and stuff like that, but I feel very, very grateful to have a job that I like, coworkers that I like. I like being close to my family, being able to see them, being able to like travel and see my friends and stuff like that. I feel like overall, I'm pretty content slash happy with my life. The tiniest mic.
The very delicate handover. Yeah, I'm happy as well. I do think that there are many things that do from time to time get me down, and I think a lot of that is just brain chemistry and chemicals happening up there that I don't quite understand. And that's the stuff that really annoys me. It's like I have no reason to be sad right now. Why am I sad right now? And I feel like that's depression and anxiety for a lot of people. But I have a job that I love. I have a job where I get to be creative and have fun and laugh for a living. And more importantly, I feel like with this and with my part-time streaming, where I'm making extra money doing streaming and stuff, like more importantly, I have money to not have to worry about ex like emergency flights. And like that was one thing that hit me really, really, really hard, where like I had gone, I was going to go down for Thanksgiving, and that's like a lot of money to go home. But several weeks before that, my grandfather had passed away, and that was like, well, I have to go down for the funeral, right? I have to be there for my dad. And it was like, I would have been able to do it, and I would have been in credit card debt for many, 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 many months. But luckily, it's not that, like, it's not dire straits anymore for me. And like, I am extremely happy about that. And so when people say like money can't buy happiness, it can make things a lot easier when it comes to like, you know, I think they say that more about like NBA players and celebrities that have millions and millions of dollars. I'm
Yeah,
talking more
on
of
that
just,
scale.
I'm talking more of like just like the disposable income to ease off the anxieties of other stuff that I would have otherwise still been worrying about a lot, you know? But yeah, I still, you know, again, I have a job I love. I get to laugh for a living. I get to create for a living, and I get to make you all happy. Whether that happens or not will remain to be seen. But that's always like very, very gratifying, I'd say. Cooper Barth asks, to both Andy and Joy, what is your favorite thing at Universal Studios?
Ooh, it's been a little while since I've gone. The caveat, obviously, J.K. Rowling sucks, but walking into Hogwarts and like that entire thing and how they've been able to build it out so you don't realize that you're like in the rest of the theme park is like truly incredible. They've done a really good job with all of the design over there. It's so cool. And even like the perspective to seeing Hogwarts that like you can't, I mean, it's been a long time since I've been there, but you can't actually go in. I don't think. Did you guys go over there?
You can, I mean, there's Hogsmeade.
Oh, that's right. But like when you see Hogwarts in the background, you can't go into it. But just
That's
like
like the
the,
entrance to the ride.
that's right. Okay, that's right. All of that stuff looks so cool. But every single, I feel like every time I go to Universal, we'll like walk around, get a little butter beer, and then like kind of leave. Like I don't necessarily feel the need to do those rides over and over again. But I fucking love the tour ride with Jimmy Fallon or whoever it is now. I think it's so fun and it's so cheesy and the Fast and Furious bit is bad. But it's just fun. I like the little like shark you get to see, all of that stuff.
Something very funny happened recently. I was like jokingly saying that I fell in love with a tour guide because I'm an idiot and I just say stupid shit. Somehow it got around to the tour guide and she followed me on Instagram.
What the fuck?
And it, and like I don't want to engage just because I don't want to like
Be cool.
feel, yeah, like that I gotta understand more and more that people take the things that I say serious. And I'm
Did you
usually
say it
just,
on a show
I
or
was
like a
thinking like on a
stream?
stream. Yeah, I'm just being an idiot, you
Yeah.
know. Fell in love with the tour guy, you know, like whatever. It's just like a stupid bit. So yeah, that was weird. But
That is so
yeah,
random.
I gotta assume somebody knew her and, you
Yeah.
know, hit
But
her
how
up.
would they even know what tour guide you had? Did you know her name or something?
Yeah,
Oh, okay.
because
That's
I'm an
why.
idiot because I say stupid shit. The yeah, those I was actually talking on stream that like I was worried that like, while walking around Hogwarts, people are gonna be like, "But I thought you don't support her, but you're
Oh,
here
yeah.
right now. We're gonna get you canceled." No, but yeah, seeing like the construction of the Hogwarts castle was mind blowing. Like the scale of it, I couldn't stop looking at the damn thing.
Yeah.
I had my first butter beer. That shit was delicious. It
Oh my
hits
God, the hot one or the frozen
the
one?
frozen one.
Frozen one's so
Frozen
good.
one is so good. It hit the spot in like 91 degree weather.
Oh, that's good.
My favorite thing was just walking through noon. Walking through Nintendo Land, through Super Nintendo World, the cupcake was great. The meal, the food was great at the restaurant. Just
That's cute.
seeing all the decor is the coolest thing that I experienced. Not
did
the
you
ride
have,
though.
The little game thing with like the little wristband.
No, I didn't get a wristband. The wristbands are like $50.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really care about that stuff.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. It was very, very cool. How much money would it take for each of you to go through all the mazes at Universal's Halloween Horror Nights?
Ugh.
Next question.
I don't think it's money that is the
I'll just hold
determining
the mic
factor.
For you.
Yeah. I don't think it's money that's the determining factor. It's how much, like, what is my mental capacity to be able to do something like that. I do think that if it was like you and me and Mike and Josh, who are all like varying degrees of like pretty scaredy cat about stuff, that the scare actors would be torn between who to focus on because we're all scared, versus if only one person's scared, they're always going to like focus on that person, try and get the reaction. But if we're all scared, I actually think it might be better.
I think I have to say that, like, I would be so pressed being there, and I just can't even imagine. Like, Joey, every time I've been on Haunted Mansion many times.
Oh yeah, that's a way different experience.
But like, anytime I get on there, like, I'm gonna get so scared, and then I don't. But like, just the psych up leading up to it. It's one of those things where like, whenever I play a scare game,
yeah,
I'm totally fine in the lead up, and then I sit down and hit the thing, and I've got the headphones on, like, this was a mistake. I do not want to be in this vibe right now. I would do it if a millionaire walked up to me and said, I'll give you whatever amount of money, give me your $1 million, is what I would say.
It would be $1 million.
$1 million. No, I'd say, like, for the emotional distress.
Just pay off my student loan. Mysterious benefactor.
And it was like, yeah, it's like 33K. I'd say like, I would do it for 2K. 2K
That's
would be my number.
Low.
200,000K. Whoa, where asks, what is your favorite part about living in San Francisco? I love the food.
Oh, the food is so good. I love the weather. I grew up most of my summers having like 100 degree plus hot weather, as did you. And the fact that it's summer and I'm wearing a sweatshirt and jeans is incredible. I fucking love it. There are days where I get like, especially like in the winter when we don't see sun for like days and days and days, and I get all sad, is kind of annoying. But I think the fact that if you go like 20 minutes south, it's like usually pretty warm and sunny, and that's where a lot of my family lives. So I get some of the vitamin C sunshine during the summer, but I love that it's sweatshirt, hoodie, and jeans weather all year round.
Yeah, I'd say the food. I do enjoy that side of the weather, but I don't hate it as somebody that likes to work out and do outside activities. It hurts my lungs.
Would you rather do it all in the sunshine, like warmer weather?
Yeah, I was so sad when I was trying to play basketball here on Saturday, and it was sunny as shit at my house, and about 67 degrees. I was like, "Ooh, it's gonna be perfect.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get so sweaty." Because like,
a little breeze.
I always have to remind everybody that when it's 65 outside, it's 85 inside. Without our air conditioning in my house, if I don't turn on my little room air conditioner unit, it's going to be 85 in my room.
Dang.
If it's 65 outside, because the sun is beating down on the roof, right? So, like, that's when I try to get outside, and it's always beautiful outside. Even when it's 72, it's beautiful outside. 75, when it's beautiful when it's even warmer than that. But the I drove down over here to Daly City, which is about a 20-minute commute, 15, 20, 25 with traffic. And it was like I'm in a different zone, Joe. Like, I parked, opened my door to the coldest wind I've ever felt in my life, and was like, where did the sun go?
Yeah.
It was 67 degrees over there and sunny about 20 minutes that way, which in actuality is about 4 miles.
Yeah. The whole city's only 7x7.
And here, it was back to like 61, fucking windy, cold, no sun. I was like, damn, dude, this sucks. This is gonna be like an awful day of basketball when it's windy as hell and it's cold as hell. Broken Relic asks, Andy, is there any chance you would do a marathon stream of Bloodborne, kind of like you did with Dark Souls? I'm assuming you mean 3 instead of 2. I only ask because I'm missing your Souls-like streams. Also, do you plan on streaming Liza P on Kind of Funny streams? Thanks for all you do at Kind of Funny for the great times. I always said I will only replay Bloodborne whenever there's a remaster. That's when I'll do the DLC first. Because DLC came with it, but it's that thing where you want to do the DLC before you beat the game. You don't want to do it in New Game Plus because it's going to be tougher.
Oh,
And
interesting.
I don't want to experience that game again, even tougher. So I will play it the day that we. Of course, I'm going to play it. Like, it would be. I've always mentioned, Joe, that, like. I. Like, when Bloodborne comes out, those are, like, big viewage streams for me.
Yeah.
And I have a freaking blast doing them. But I will not play Bloodborne again until there is a PC remaster or whatever the next iteration of it is, because I do not want to play it in 30 frames again. That being said, do you plan on streaming Liza? I'm sure we'll do like a couple of streams of Liza P when it comes out, but I do want to. I plan on playing that on my own as like a full playthrough, because we can never guarantee a full playthrough here. Kind of funny, and I would not want to wait 3 months for a full playthrough, 4 months
Yeah.
for a full playthrough, where like the way when our single player streams happen, like we prioritize the multiplayer ones, obviously, because more people are having fun and there's usually more viewership on those as well. And if I were to do a Liza P stream for Kind of Funny, I would play maybe Monday and then maybe Friday the next week and then maybe Tuesday 2 weeks from then. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just beat it and have it all kind of done.
And that's like assuming that you have a crew around you that's excited to watch and talk about it and all that kind of stuff, which Souls games, you guys have gotten obviously played through whatchamacallit together, Elden Ring.
Yeah, we're like right at the end of Elden Ring. We decided to go take the Melania route, and who knows when we'll actually get there, because it's going to be a long journey. But yeah, that's a little bit tougher, and you need like the right people around you, because Nick is really bad at getting distracted. PDXV man says, "How goes the Diablo journey for both of you?" I re randomly started it up like a week ago, just because it was late at night and I had kind of like nothing to play. But I was in bed. I was like, I can play it on Xbox. So the journey is kind of like stalled for me for the most part, but it's still something that I think about a lot and like kind of want to play in my free time. Joe, how about your journey?
It's been a while since I've played because I got through, I unlocked the tier three. I did one of the it's not a nightmare dungeon, but like the big ones to unlock the difficulties. But a lot of my friends haven't finished campaign yet and aren't like caught up because there's just so many games out right now. So then it was kind of, and I had like unlocked all the map things. I've found all of the altars. I've done all of the dungeons and unlocked all the aspects. So like there's not a whole lot else for me to do unless it's like the PvP stuff, which I don't really love, in World Tier 3. So Gary and I actually, they're recording XCast. He was like, I play all the time. Like I'll run you through the dungeon. So I think between having somebody to do the World Tier 4 dungeon with and the seasonal stuff, which I was actually playing like all morning, I think I'll probably get back into it. But Day of the Diver is so damn good.
Oh, you're playing the Diver.
Yeah, I
That's awesome.
played like every night for since I got back from LA in Austin. It's really fun. It's like the perfect amount of like sea exploration, managing your inventory, managing like how deep you are, and do you have the right suit, and do you have you played any of this?
No.
Oh yeah,
I know it's something I need to, because I
yeah,
know it's going to be one of those like game of the year sort of talked about games.
it's real fun. Like figuring out that I just unlocked like the fish hatchery because when you like catch the fish, then you get some eggs and you can grow the eggs, and then if you die when you're diving, then you have fish to sell at your sushi restaurant that night. I have three employees now in addition to me. It's very exciting.
Did you like what was the hiring process like, Joe?
I put out a poster campaign. There's like I could do like a TV ad or like a radio ad, but that's like way more expensive, so I didn't do that.
That's
And then
cool.
I pretty much hired anybody that applied.
Oh, great. Okay. Not a whole lot of rules there. You've murdered four people, it's all good. You can work here. Corey asks, Andy, what are some of your top comedic influences? I would say like Mitch Hedberg was always a big one for me, where I always enjoyed a lot of comedy growing up and a lot of different styles of comedy. But Mitch Hedberg sort of opened up a new lane that I didn't really know existed, because I didn't really experience a whole lot of like sort of deadpan serious comedy in that moment. And then like I don't know, like I think if I could swap lives and have the praise of people, it would be Nathan Fielder. Because I think Nathan Fielder is so respected in the art that he does that like he so rarely endangers his art form with by doing cheesy things that would kind of make you feel like, oh, he's going the Kevin Hart route. He's becoming too much. We're getting tired of this dude. Like, I feel like he is so true to his character and true to his art that it's you kind of like have to respect what he's doing in that field. With everything of like ending Nathan For You early because he felt like I think I kind of just hit the limit. Like, that's all. Like, I ended it and that was like the best I could do. And then obviously with the rehearsal, kind of bringing it back in a new way and somehow one-upping everything he's ever done was, I think, super, super impressive. And I also just love the deadpan nature of making people feel awkward. And honestly, like Stu Gotz and Levitard show, I think that they're like the what they do, I feel like I brought a lot into with Kind of Funny as well when it comes to the way we podcast, and when Nick says something stupid, you got to be there and be like, no, he's right. Yeah, it's true. Like, no, because Kevin, he has to do that. You have to do like that's sort of like always enabling, you know. I feel like has definitely influenced me. And Corey also asked Joey, Suits in Review when?
We have ne a
Say no.
no, we're not doing it because it's only Nick and I, and Nick's so much farther than I am. But we've never really been able to figure out how to do like long form TV reviews.
Now we may have to figure things out with the strike going
I
on.
know.
The Office in Review. We could break it up episode. We could do it like
We can't
watch the.
do episode
No,
by
no, no. We
episode.
could do like watch the first five episodes of this
Yeah.
thing. Five episode chunks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then there's like so we'd have to like play around with it because they're so that one's easier because they're shorter episodes. I think with hour long like network shows like this, it's like, well, there's like 22 episodes a season, so then it's 4 episodes per season and 7 seasons. It's like, holy fuck, that's 28 episodes of In Review, you know? So it's just like a lot, and I don't think people care about Suits enough, but I'm having a great time. It's what I watch when I'm playing Dave the Diver.
I hate you. Sean Shabe Raven asks, Andy, if you had the time to do an art project on your off time for yourself, what would it be? Also, do you miss 3D modeling? I do miss 3D modeling, and if I had time to do an art project off time for myself, it would likely be something like a 3D modeling thing where I would model all of us in a very like kind of cute cartoony way. But I also like miss doing pixel art and things of that nature. So it would likely have to do with video games and with Kind of Funny and kind of you know, I love seeing us in different forms, and a lot of that stems from the kind of the KFAF Photoshop competitions. And I just like, if I had $1 million, I would pay artists to draw all of us as, hey, be creative and make us X-Men. Be creative and make us all Pokemon trainers, or be creative and make us all Pokemon. Like, you know,
Yeah.
would Kevin's little Pokemon have like a thing on his head because it's like a seamless or
Brim of
a
hat.
brimless hat, right? But like, how would that work in like the Pokemon body, you know, like
Yeah.
just stuff like that. I love envisioning, and I wish, you know, I wish we had more time and resources to kind of reach out for that. Joey asks, no, wait, Sean asks Joey, do you have any fun RTX stories you didn't get to tell anywhere yet?
I don't think I told this on anything, but there was a point where it was me and Mike and our friend DK, who works at 100 Thieves, walking around Austin in the convention center. I think we had gotten lunch and we were walking back. And walking into the convention center, it's annoying because they always have like the certain doors you can go in. You have to like walk fucking all the way around the building. But there was people like soliciting outside of the convention center. So of course, out of our group of three people, who gets stopped?
Oh, God.
Of course, one Snowbike Michael. He gets stopped by this really pretty girl.
I'm annoyed already.
And it's some save the children thing. I don't remember what, but DK and I were like on the other side of the like little entryway thing, kind of just waiting for him to do his thing.
Gave
Like
her access to his whole bank account.
exactly. But
To
as
all six of
he,
them.
I know, he's like, I don't know the passwords. Here are all of them. Good luck. DK and I are talking. He's like, do you want to go over and get him? I'm like, no. Mike got himself into this. He can get himself out. Like, I'm not saving him from this. But then I overhear her talking about how the money and the donations and stuff like that are going towards kids who like can't see and like need glasses and stuff like that. And I wanted to yell so bad. He's one of those kids. He needs your help. And I like it took everything in me to not interrupt it. And it felt scripted, but it's just the luck of our lives that we get put in these things. My
Hate him
favorite.
so much. I hate him so much. Max, with the final question, asks, Andy has said before that Mission Impossible is the best action franchise, which I agree, but how far off is John Wick? I'll tell you what, Max. With the latest release of Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning, John Wick a lot closer now. John Wick for me, four maybe my favorite, honestly.
Wow.
Just looking back on how much it hits you, just like it is so strong, and come to think of it, like I think really part three may be the weakest to me, just in some of its moments.
That one's my favorite.
But it's so strong. Like John Wick is just, it's gonna hit way more than it's going to miss. And when it misses, it still really impresses you. My thing with Mission Impossible is like, I'm so impressed by the reinvention of it after a massive bomb with Part Two. And like when I looked at my top whatever and I ranked them, and a lot of people were like, how dare you have part one that low? And how dare you have part seven that low? It's like the more Dead Reckoning so low. And it's like, honestly, two's the only one I don't like. And
Yeah.
that is crazy. That is like a wild percentage of success for me, where I think I think my rankings were Fallout at number one, number six. I put Ghost Protocol at number two. I put Rogue Nation at number three. I put Part Three at rank four. I put Dead Reckoning at five. I put Part One at six. And then I put
Two and
two
seven.
at seven. But again, it's, I mean, at any moment you said Part Three was too low. At any moment, I could just switch out Rogue Nation for Part Three because of how much I freaking love these movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Mission Impossible just hits so well and is so creative. And that's why I was a bit more disappointed with Dead Reckoning, is like I was missing some more of the creativity and the surprises. I feel like we didn't have the Wolf Blitzer fucking reveal. You know what I mean? Like we didn't have a level like that was that kind of like shocking to me. But yeah, very, very good movies. Thank you for all your questions, patrons. Thank you for your support. We can't do it without you. Joey, any final words before we go watch Barbie in two theaters that are like right next to each other,
20
about
minutes
10 minutes
apart.
apart?
Listen, it's hard out there to get Barbie tickets. No, thank you so much for everything, guys, and for supporting all the stuff that we do. We're excited to Nandy and I don't get to ever do stuff like this. This is my favorite part of the Q&As, is I try to like pair people that like don't actually, even though I guess we're on a lot of stuff together, but it's never just the two of us.
Little stupid microphone.
Little super microphone, my favorite. Bye.